Well, hey there, how's it going? Welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is the podcast where we share and discuss the very best in video game music. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm Will Brueggemann. Thank you so much for joining us today. On today's show, we'll be taking a look at one of the most beloved series in the history of gaming, Dragon Quest. Now, Dragon Quest is a very unique series because it really is one of the first that was highly acclaimed for its music soundtrack.
And this was back in the day when video games did not have the respect that they do nowadays. Another really unique thing about the Dragon Quest series is, unlike most other series that I can think of, every single game in the main series of Dragon Quest was composed by one man. And that gentleman is known as Koichi Sugiyama. He is the composer of the Dragon Quest series.
And that's no small feat, too, because Dragon Quest, like any great series, still exists today and has been going on since the mid-80s. So it's really quite crazy to think that the same gentleman composed the music to every single Dragon Quest game in the entire main series.
And you guys may be familiar with this series, also known as Dragon Warrior. That's what it was known in North America. Dragon Quest is what it was called in Japan, so that's what we're going to call today's episode, and we're going to call every single game Dragon Quest 1, 2, 3. So we're going to play...
Which makes sense, because this series is much more popular in Japan.
That's
correct.
And
that's really where a lot of the music really started to gain recognition. We'll talk a little bit more about the composer later on, because he's a very unique gentleman and incredibly just an idol as far as video game music legends go.
Yeah, he's one of the biggest legends definitely in video game music. Definitely set the stage for a lot of composers to come after him. One thing so great about the series is it's so rare to have such an incredible level of consistency and cohesion from every single game all the way starting from the MSX or the NES all the way to the Wii U. Such a similar style of music. It's a very classical, authentic genre. Every single soundtrack is very classical, and that's something that Sugiyama brings to the table for video game music, is he is a classically trained conductor and was trained in classical music from an early age. So that's one of the unique things about this specific composer, is that he brings such a high level of sophistication and authenticity to his music.
Well, another thing that's very unique about this gentleman is that he's quite old. When we think of video game composers, he's actually the age of some classic film composers.
Absolutely. He's 82 years old. He was
I think the age currently of John Williams, if I'm correct.
Yeah, was born in 1931, so just an absolutely legendary figure.
It's crazy to think that my father, who was born in 1950, has never played a video game and is completely just unaware of what most video games are, mm-hmm. and video game music even more so. But then someone born 20 years prior to him could be writing the music to video games, especially right at the beginning. Now it's sort of like video games have sort of this cultural context, and I feel like people really respect them on a higher level.
And now
especially
you could
music.
Just write a symphonic piece of music,
right?
And you might not need to
but
know anything
what's
about
so,
a video game.
What blows my mind is that Sugiyama not only wrote the music to these series, but he was actually the first person to contact Enix.
Yeah.
He was playing some of their earlier games and sent in like a fan letter, and then
that's
from
true.
That they commissioned him to write the music to the first Dragon Quest game, and he's stuck with the series ever since. And to me, that's just absolutely marvelous.
It's a great story. It's incredibly unique series. We're so excited to dive into the music of this series. This is going to be such a fun episode for you guys. If anyone's a fan of the Dragon Quest series, you're really going to get a kick out of this. And if you've never played this series, you're going to really like this music. So let's get things started here. You heard the overture from the first Dragon Quest game, and that's used in countless other games in the series. That was the overture. And every single track you're hearing today was composed by Koichi Sugiyama.
So in a sense, it's sort of an unofficial spotlight on him.
I think it's almost official.
I mean, at this point, it's absolutely official.
It's absolutely official. So we're going to play one more track from the very first game, Dragon Quest. This came out in 1986 for a multitude of different 8-bit systems, the NES, as well as the MSX. We're going to start things off with some MSX music. Let's take a listen to Peaceful Village from the MSX version of Dragon Quest.
Thank you.
Well, that is a great way to start off today's episode. This is such a fun, authentic, classical piece of music. This is Peaceful Village from the very first Dragon Quest game. This is for the MSX, composed by Koichi Sugiyama. It's a very simple, memorable, catchy piece of music that really would, I would imagine, stay with the player when they're playing this game. Just very well done.
What I really like is I feel like some of the part writing is absolutely very classical in its function. But as far as some of the harmonics and notes, it's also integrating a little bit of the Romantic era, some other European music elements, and also it just feels right at home with video game music. It's sort of responding to some of the cultural norms in game music at the time, especially, you know, looking at someone like Koji Kondo or people like that. You know, we talk about the cross-pollination between all those composers, but sort of that general musical palette and some of those chord progressions that we hear so often in Japanese video game music. You know, I feel like Sugiyama is really also contributing and responding to sort of that sort of palette at the time in Japan.
That's a good point. I think one thing that's so cool and why the music was so highly acclaimed when this game came out, some of these early games in the series, is that it was very authentic. It sounded timeless. It already sounded like you've already known and loved this melody for years. It sounds like a classical melody that could have been, you know, composed by Bach or Beethoven or something.
Yeah, especially that underneath harmony line, very just sort of brilliant. And it, not only its function, but its execution is really well crafted. And another thing that just to talk about, very smooth voice leading in all of these soundtracks.
Well, one thing that I think is so impressive about the 8-bit work of Koichi Sugiyama is his inner voice writing is some of the most impressive and authentic that I've ever heard in video game music. It's such a joy to listen to, and you guys will hear that as we go through this playlist. Some of these 8-bit tracks, it's just masterful 3-part writing. It's just excellent. So we're going to move on to Dragon Quest II, and we're going to again stay on the MSX for now. This is a track called Joyous Song, and once again composed by Koichi Sugiyama. Such a cool piece of music there. Such a long form, especially in this era of video game music. That was Joyous Song. It's one of the introduction pieces of music that you hear in the second game. This is Dragon Quest II. And once again, that was the MSX version. And such a bouncy, playful piece of music. I love that final section. There's a lot of really interesting cadences and pauses. And it's very in your face and very intense.
Yeah, definitely. I think something that I love about this is it's sort of going more into what I was talking about in the last one of sort of participating in sort of the musical landscape in Japan and in America also. You know, this really just sounds like pop music of the 80s integrated in a more classical setting. And I just think it's very brilliant, especially to put that level of thought and sort of fusion into a video game at that time showed an incredible level of foresight, especially for someone who was really so old when this budding new medium was really taking off.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It kind of boggles my mind. And maybe, you know, maybe that's the reason why this series was able to be so consistent and so cohesive and was able to be so comfortable, and it felt like it was really set in this classical tradition, is because he was a middle-aged composer that had already had so much experience composing in other mediums like movies and TV, that he was so comfortable and confident in his composition at this time. And I think that really shows in the music.
It's cool that he's so popular from this, but really he was already kind of a legend in Japan at the time. It's also funny to think, you know, someone like John Williams, we really didn't start appreciating his music and really knowing who he was until, you know, Jaws, Star Wars, Indiana Jones. But, you know, he was sort of middle-aged at that point, and he had already had many years of work under his belt at that time. So it's quite interesting to think about people like that who we really don't appreciate until later in their life.
Yeah, some of the other things that this gentleman, Koichi Sugiyama, is known for in Japan is he's a member of JASRAC, which is the Japanese Society for Rights of Authors, Composers, and Publishers, which is kind of cool. He's also a board member of the Japan Institute for National Fundamentals, and also an honorary chairman of the Japanese Backgammon Society, which I find funny. But yeah, let's keep going here. We're going to play two more tracks from Dragon Quest II. Now, we're going to play one more from the MSX version, and then we're going to play one from the NES version to give you guys kind of a little taste of the different versions. This is Busy City Streets. This is one of my favorite tracks from this game, and I discovered this a few years ago, and when I first heard it, it really reminded me of the theme of Forrest Gump, you know, the great Alan Silvestri theme from that awesome movie in the 90s. See if you guys can hear a little bit of that here. This is Busy City Streets. A beautiful, peaceful piece of music. This is Busy City Streets from Dragon Quest II, and this second game came out in 1987. This was composed by Koichi Sugiyama. Man, this is just such a relaxing piece of music. It really makes me smile. One thing that I like about it is it's a nice walking, brisk tempo. It's Absolutely. Something that would really go well with the pace and rhythm of someone walking, you know, down the street.
That's a really good point. I really like that you mentioned that. I think that really, that rhythm and that tempo really has a lot to do with sort of how we can convey emotion. And this is one that just really feels quite sunny. I feel like if I could give it one adjective, I'd definitely describe it as sunny. That melody is absolutely wonderful. Very
classic. Yeah, it's just one of the best video game melodies in this era. It's so good. It's so solid.
Yeah, I agree that it does bear some resemblance to the Alan Silvestri melody for Forrest Gump, but I don't know. I feel like this one does video game music as well as that one does film music.
That's a good point. I mean, the B section is so video gamey.
Yeah.
It's definitely something that wouldn't fit in a movie.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's just what I love about Sugiyama's work, is that I feel like he's not coming to the table with an amount of arrogance or sort of snottiness. You know, his music really fits at home in the landscape of video game music, but yet he's also able to introduce more sophisticated musical elements to video game music. And I love that he's sort of coming to game music as an ambassador of different eras of music, but not coming and saying, oh, this is wrong. He's sort of putting himself in that world.
Well, I think the fact that this gentleman was interested in computers and video games and technology, he was just one of those people that likes technology. He liked the challenge of composing for three voices and was one of the few people that was incredibly qualified to do that, because writing for three voices is a very classical thing. You need to know voice leading. You need to understand classical music in theory. And that's why he was so tailor-made for that job. And it's so fun to see him go into later eras like the Super Nintendo, where you really finally start to hear, ooh, it sounds like an orchestra.
Right. Absolutely. And I think also, you know, we talk about how the NES is tailor-made for that sort of classical writing, but I think it also goes to show a little bit that, you know, classical theory is based in sort of the natural progression and expression of music, you know? Mm-hmm. The fact that those limitations, a lot of these composers go to this classical setting, and there's a reason behind that, because it's just sort of natural. It comes out of limitation, that type of thinking and being able to evoke those chords and those melodies.
Well, and I think the classical influence really fits this series and the type of RPG that this is.
Absolutely.
So many RPGs are so perfect with classical music. We think about kind of that from another era, something right. that is kind of like a long time ago, and this is the perfect music.
There's something
for that.
Cool that I really love about video games doing that, because relatively speaking, obviously, video games are very new, and they're quite a new budget medium. Even still today, they're still growing and evolving and still don't really know their footing
when you compare them to movies
culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what's interesting is combining that with something that's supposed to feel really old. There's something I like about a little bit of that sort of cultural dissonance of mm-hmm. having something old and also but being presented in something very new.
Well, because it's not straight classical music. It's
right.
like classical pop music. It has to be simple. It has to be catchy.
Right.
You can't take a lot of time building a theme, and you know, you really don't have that much time,
especially
but I mean,
like,
in this
even
era.
The game, like the fact that it's supposed to have that from another era
right.
feel is
right.
something that I really just love about video games that they can
well,
do
let's
that.
Play another track from Dragon Quest II, and we're going to play a track from the NES version or the Famicom version. This is a track called Recounting Our Journey. And what's interesting is I listened to both versions. I listened to the MSX version and the NES version. And what I thought was interesting is the mix is incredibly different. The levels are very different on both versions. We've talked about before the triangle channel in the NES, you don't have volume control. So that definitely leads to different mixes. They also, he changed the key for the NES version. It's not in the same key as the MSX version.
What about the tempo?
It's pretty similar tempo, but some different use of vibrato and stuff. So let's take a listen to the NES version of Recounting Our Journey. Such a beautiful piece. This is Recounting Our Journey, NES version from Dragon Quest II, once again composed by the legendary Koichi Sugiyama. God, this guy just has the chops, compositionally, technically. Now, one thing that's interesting is I would imagine this gentleman had help throughout the years of different engineers and sound designers that were able to help him implement on all these various systems. He probably wasn't alone doing this stuff, but for something, you know, something like the NES, it's a challenging system, and we've talked to different composers about how challenging it is to work on a system with that many limitations, and he's making it sound so effortless here.
What I love is the confidence of his melodic writing. He's not compromising for the NES. And what I mean by that is a lot of NES composers really get quite notey. You know, they really like to make the melody accent the chords. But what I'm really noticing about Sugiyama's writing is that he's content with, you know, landing on one note or having a very slow-moving melody, which is what he would do if he were writing for an orchestra. Mm-hmm. And there's sort of a confidence there, and also a confidence in the sound chip, a confidence in video games that he doesn't need to compromise the quality and the weight of his musical material for the hardware. You know, he's just going to make it for the music and have it translate really well into the hardware. And he does that by having a very lyrical sense of that arpeggiated line and how it works with all the notes. You know, he's very cognizant of the voice leading and the harmony going on, but it's just very effortless.
It definitely is effortless. One thing that I think is so interesting, just so you guys know, we're going to play a track from all 10 of the games in the main series, all the way 1 through 10. We're not going to play any other side games on this episode because this is just the first episode. We might have another Dragon Quest episode in the future. But one thing that's so interesting is whether or not he's composing on the NES or the Wii, it's incredibly similar musically, and you could take a lot of the themes that he composed for something like the Wii and put it on the NES, and you almost wouldn't be able to tell the difference. So it really is one of the most consistent series musically. We're going to move on to Dragon Quest III. Now, for this game and for the following game, 3 and 4, we're going to play the NES version, which I think might be the most fun to listen to.
Very classic timbres of that NES.
Absolutely. Soundtrack. It's nice to hear it in context with all the classics that we know. This is the overworld theme from Dragon Quest III, composed by Koichi Sugiyama. Great piece. This is the overworld theme from Dragon Quest III for the NES, composed by Koichi Sugiyama. A very interesting overworld when we think about a lot of non-RPG overworlds, something like Zelda. It's usually a little bit more triumphant and happy, but this one has elements of happiness and triumph, but it also has elements of sadness, and there's a lot of power to the very beginning of this piece. It is an effective overworld. I mean, I'm not super familiar with this game, but I would imagine that this game has a lot of really kind of important dialogue and important, you know, things in the plot that are going on, and this music makes it feel very important. It makes you feel like this is an epic journey, you know.
Wonderful melody, and again, like the rest of the series and like all of his NES music, such incredible part writing and voice leading. Mm-hmm. That bass line is just like any great classical or baroque bass line, and the contours and how it works with that middle voice, the harmony, you know, they're never moving in like parallel fifths, but mm-hmm. when they are moving in harmony, it's like nothing you've ever heard, because typically in NES music the bass line is independent, you know, you have the bass and then the two pulse channels sort of doing their own thing.
Yeah, I think, but the bass is the star of this
right.
piece. I mean, like you said, it's incredibly classical. It's something, it's really a well thought out part. A lot of times when we think about the bass parts, it's just doing the root note, but this is an actual moving part that you could sing.
Right, and what I was saying is that it moves in sometimes in harmony with the middle voice,
right.
which is something we never hear because we usually just hear the bass on its own. So when you hear that movement where the melody, the middle voice, and the bass voice are sort of moving in sort of
that's
a classical voice leading
motion,
that's
what makes it sound authentic.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And you're right, that's a very good point. It's rare that we hear that in video game music, in 8-bit video game music.
Yeah, especially when they're all moving in the same rhythm. You know, usually to create that sort of syncopation, they have the bass operating differently
to make it sound fuller, but
right.
what's crazy is this is incredibly full sounding. What I think is so cool is that he doesn't have to water down his bass part. He doesn't need to, oh, it's a video game, I just make it simple. You know, it's every bit as expressive as it would be in an orchestra.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I think another reason we're talking about that, you know, we're not saying that we, you know, look down upon video games, but think about it. This is 1988 and the other games came out before that, you know, and this is a time when most of his peers, I assume, had no respect for video game music.
Or just had no idea what it was.
Exactly. So it's, you know, I think it really is to his credit that he took this medium seriously enough to approach the music in such a respectable way.
Yeah, and I really think it's a testament to the quality of his music that there was such a love for it in Japan in the 80s. It was some of the first video game music concerts ever in Japan were for the Dragon Quest series. So let's move on. Let's play another track from Dragon Quest III. We're going to play two more. This is the cave theme. Thank you. such a devious piece of music. You're listening to the cave theme from Dragon Quest III, also known as Dragon Warrior III in North America. This was composed by Koichi Sugiyama. This piece reminds me of the A section, a little bit of Aladdin. I could see this maybe being in the Cave of Wonders. It's kind of has a dungeon feel. Obviously, this is the cave theme. And even if you didn't know that, if someone were to play you this music and say, you know what, name this piece of music for me, what do you think this would evoke? I think most people would say, I don't know, a dungeon? It has that quality to the music. It has
that very earthy, creepy, diminished sound to it. What I really am curious is about who was responsible for the NES implementation. Because some of the techniques actually really remind me of Hirokazu Tanaka, especially his stuff with Metroid and Kid Icarus.
I could hear that.
Both sort of some of the, you know, instrument switching settings for sort of the duty cycles, and also sort of the way that he works with volume and timbre really reminds me of Hirokazu Tanaka. And I am curious about, you know, who implemented these, because I can't imagine that Sugiyama did the implementation himself, because that's just a little too much to believe that he did all these games and all the implementation.
Yeah, if anyone out there is a huge Sugiyama fan, maybe a kind of a nerd of the Dragon Quest series, let us know if you know if there's someone else who, you know, kind of was in charge of the implementation, or if you think Sugiyama actually did some of that stuff. Yeah, because he worked on a lot of different systems. So we're going to play one more track from Dragon Quest III. This is the ending theme, really one of the strongest pieces of music so far that he had composed for this series. Such a great piece of music. It's incredibly long. We're going to play most of it, and then we'll fade it down, and then there will be a little bit more material that you'll hear as we're talking through it. So please enjoy the ending theme. Gosh, you guys should have seen. You can't see. This is only an audio podcast, but we're putting our hands in the air because it was such a great piece of music. We were responding so much to this. This is so beautiful. This is the ending theme of Dragon Quest III. It really takes you on an emotional journey. It's a roller coaster ride, this piece. I mean, different tempo changes, and there's these little succinct pieces of music in these themes, but they come back with different instrumentation. It's
incredible.
And these
really incredibly complex and busy syncopated moving lines. You know, all the part writing, you know, it's rare for a piece with only three voices to feel really complex and overwhelming as far as the parts.
Let's take a listen to this section here.
Well, Carl, what do you think? I mean, I just really feel like this writing is so orchestral in nature. I can almost hear the orchestral sounds in my head just from that. And it really makes me wish I could go back in time to some of those Dragon Quest concerts to hear that stuff performed
live. It's so important to think about when this was written, because think about the resurgence of classical film music.
Right.
You know, John Williams.
Very John Williams.
Starting with Star Wars. making symphonic film music cool again. And I think when you think about the 80s, how many classic John Williams film scores were there?
This sounds like Temple of Doom.
It sounds like Temple of Doom. It's something that the listeners are filling in the gaps in their own mind. You're right. They're able, this part especially, they're able to hear with those hits, they're able to hear a full string section really kind of digging into the strings and the bows. And I think that's what's so great about video game music, is that you can have such a small number of notes, but the listener is able to fill in the cracks in their own mind.
Yeah, it's so epic and rousing. It's really magical. He's really able to capture a feeling of wonder. And again, it's so impressive with the limitations and, you know, again, bringing no bias with him to the medium, just taking what's great about music and taking what works in functional music and films and applying it in sort of a new creative way to video games is just absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, that's definitely one of both of our absolute favorite tracks of the whole series. We thought about it for track of the week, but kind of early on in the playlist, we're going to wait a little bit for that. So now let's move on to Dragon Quest IV. This is known as Chapters of the Chosen. And of course, if you're in North America, you might know Dragon Warrior IV. This came out in 1990, the last NES soundtrack we're going to play today. Let's take a listen to a fun piece. We're going to play two tracks. This first one is called Casino Rag. It's so much fun, kind of reminiscent of maybe some other non-RPG NES soundtracks that everyone's probably a big fan of. Take a listen to Casino Rag. Oh man, if that doesn't put a smile on your face, you probably should check your face to make sure it's still working. This is Casino Rag from Dragon Quest IV. One of the really awesome techniques that Tsujiyama does throughout this entire series, he's able to get more mileage out of a very small loop. He changes the instrument, and that's all he does. He takes one musical fragment, this theme what the song is, and all he does is just change the instrument, and it gives it a longer lifespan. So there's actually about 4 instrument changes before you finally come back to the really pizzicato start of this song. After the first version, there's actually a more sustained version that kind of reminds me of like an underwater theme or something. Oh my god.
It's such a great, again, advanced technique for the NES. Oh my gosh, I just love this piece. You know, the things that we were talking about of why we loved Koji Kondo, about how he never really commits to a genre, I'm finding are some of the things that I actually really like about Koichi Tsujiyama. Mm-hmm. Is that he really does commit to genre. When he's doing classical, it's very 100% authentic to the classical music.
But
here, when he's doing ragtime, it's absolutely authentic to something like Scott Joplin. You know, while we were playing this piece, I was telling Carl, I was joking with him, like, Scott Joplin should have been born in like the 60s and written music for video games
because that would have been
great. He's so influenced the musical palette of so many video games. And I love this. It's just such a love letter to
Joplin.
Well,
I don't think you want to change the fabric of time and space, because if Scott Joplin wasn't born when he was, who knows what we would have. And what we wouldn't have. Yeah. One thing that's so great, one thing that I love about Tsujiyama is he has the chops to do this authentic style music.
Well, and he has such great knowledge of music.
Anyone. This is one of the most solid ragtime pieces on the NES that I've ever heard. It's incredible.
Well, I think it's cool. He has such a wide variety of musical knowledge. You know, he's not just like a classical or just an orchestral guy. The fact that he can switch on command and have such a knowledge of different types of music is so impressive.
Yeah,
to me.
You guys should be looking forward to later on. You're going to hear some other different influences, some other different genres coming up, not just straight ahead classical. So let's play one more track from Dragon Quest IV. This is Ragnar, the Warrior Conquers Alone. That's a nice, fun, short, little, succinct piece of music there. That is Ragnar, The Warrior Conquers Alone, composed by Koichi Sugiyama from the fourth game in this series. One thing I find kind of quirky and interesting about this piece is he doesn't always have vibrato on those long, sustained notes. Sometimes I think he probably should have, because what's interesting is the first sustained note, he has some vibrato, but the really high one, the one coming right here, no vibrato at all. I find that is interesting choice that was left out.
Is this the NES?
This is the NES.
I'm pretty sure that's the triangle.
Interesting.
Doing the melody.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Yeah, that's the triangle doing the melody. Something we don't hear a lot, but it has definitely an interesting timbre.
A lot of times, you have a lot of pitch problems when you try to do the triangle.
Well, I think it's less about pitch, but the triangle channel just naturally has a lot of more present overtones.
Yeah.
That overtones of different sort of harmonic pitches, which works well with the bass because it actually makes it sound, you know, maybe like a power chord or mm-hmm. something subconsciously. But when you bring it up higher, those overtones also get higher and they start to get a little bit more shrill and you can hear mm-hmm. the distance between them more clearly.
But yeah, that was a nice piece of music. We're going to move on to the Super Famicom. This is Dragon Quest V, and this game came out in 1992, so we're moving on to a new generation here, and it's going to be really fun to see how the music changes. A little spoiler alert, it really doesn't change very much. The genre of music is almost exactly the same, but it's so fun to have it fleshed out, to have it fully realized, almost the way that Sugiyama had always intended. This is like the special edition of Dragon
Quest
music.
Except not completely awful.
Yes, yes. So this is Dragon Quest V. We're going to play two tracks from this game. We're going to start off with a track called Reminiscence, composed by Koichi Sugiyama. A beautiful, timeless melody, something that feels like you're already familiar with. The first time I heard this, it felt classic to me, and I think that's just, it just goes to show you the chops of Koichi Sugiyama. This is Reminiscence from Dragon Quest V, the first game to be released on the Super Famicom. This came out in 1992. Now, later on in the 90s, there was another game that came out for the Super Famicom. It was a redone version of the third game, so you were actually able to hear that classic music with the Super Famicom, but this is an original game, an original soundtrack. This is one of our favorite tracks from the soundtrack. This is one of the soundtracks that Will kind of helped me. Well, you know, a lot of times we kind of divide the duties of who listens to which soundtrack. This is one of them that Will had to make some of the final choices on. Some tough choices.
Yeah, a wonderful soundtrack. There's one that was actually my favorite, but we're not playing it for something I want to talk about. There's a track called Friendly and Peaceful. I really love it. It's a great melody.
Yeah, guys, check it out.
We didn't play it because I'm such a dork. There was one point where the chord didn't change to fit the melody, and it just pulled me out of it right away. The harmonic playing there was a minor 9, and it just really was unintentionally dissonant. And my opinion, I feel like I think it was the person who implemented it onto the NES.
They just made a mistake. Yeah, and that's so easy.
Melody's so intentional.
It's so easy with the SNES to do that because it's all sample based. So it's so easy to, oh, I missed. I am a half step away. You know? So I think it's pretty, you know, you have to be a little bit forgiving in that system. But how about this piece? I mean, definitely, Will, I know that you, this is one of your favorites in the soundtrack.
Yeah, this was, I voted this as my favorite just because that other one had that nerdy problem. But yeah, this is beautiful. So romantic. That's what I love is, as far as the type of music, you're right, it doesn't change much from the older games. But with the use of real orchestral samples, you know, you're able to have such expression, and the song is so na 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 na.
Yeah, and it's speaking so of lyrical. Romantic, oh my gosh, we're going to play a track that is romantic in all senses of the word. This is a track called Vows of Marriage, and it definitely harkens back to some of the most classical pieces of music that is used to evoke the feeling of love and romance.
Right.
We don't even really need to say. When you guys hear this, it's on the nose. This is Vows of Marriage from Dragon Quest V.
This is Vows of Marriage, and if you guessed the Sleeping Beauty waltz, I'm afraid you're just a little bit wrong. I really thought this reminded me of the Tchaikovsky piece, The Waltz from Sleeping Beauty, which is really beautiful. Also, it kind of reminds me of that Strauss piece that we played on our Inspirations and Influences episode that inspired Koji Kondo to make the underwater theme for Super Mario
Absolutely.
Brothers.
Once again, you guys hearing he's repeating the same music multiple times with a slightly different arrangement, slightly different group of instruments. And coming up here, he's going to repeat it again up the octave. You guys will hear that pretty soon here. He repeats the same thing, but he makes the strings go up the octave and then they do harmony.
Right.
And so he's really getting a lot of mileage. You know, this is loop-based music. This is music that needs to have a start and needs to be able to repeat over and over again. Like,
right.
Take a listen to this octave here. Now it's the above octave. It's a little bit more exciting, but it feels like it's still going. In some ways,
right.
You could say it really hasn't looped yet.
Oh, great horn writing. Just so classic to that era and just nailing the waltz. Absolutely nailing it.
Yeah.
You know,
really nice
also,
harp work in this one.
Right. The use of a chromatic melody is something that's so common with waltzes that it starts on the pitch and goes down a half step. You know, the Sleeping mm-hmm. Beauty waltz does that. You know, Koji Kondo did that in the underwater theme. Na, 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 da, da,
right.
Da, da, da. You know, it's
so romantic.
Absolutely.
Because
wonderful
I think,
orchestration.
You know what makes that romantic? That little half step. Da, na, na, it's playful.
Right.
It's something when you think about early romance when you're like really interested in someone. There's a playfulness to it. It's kind of like that melody is flirting with the orchestra in a way.
Right.
It's just really
fun. There's something I love about that melody because it's almost sequential, those moments of sort of playful tension because you have na,
yeah.
which is nice. Na, a little tension. Na, 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 na.
Yes,
na,
yes,
na,
yes.
Na,
those are the color points. That is almost the crux of the whole piece.
Yeah, it's shaping the whole musical phrase, and it's giving it an emotional context right off the bat.
That's the thing about classical music. It's the combination of consonants and dissonance. And if it's not for the dissonant points, it means nothing.
Another thing,
you need to have those points of dissonance.
Right. With the SNES sample channels, they're capturing like basically every orchestral instrument you'd want. You know, I hear flutes in there. I hear mm-hmm. clarinets.
Really great harp.
I hear horns. You hear like basically something from every section of the orchestra is present.
That's
and maybe not at all times, but it really does feel like there's an actual symphony performing this stuff.
Well, let's move on to Dragon Quest VI. This might be one of our favorite soundtracks in the whole series. Let's start off with a piece called Castle, once again for the Super Famicom, and this was composed by Koichi Sugiyama. This particular game came out in 1995. Enjoy Castle.
Thank you.
awesome. You're listening to Castle from Dragon Quest VI, composed by Koichi Sugiyama, one of the early pieces of music in this game. It's cool. It has an actual ending, what happens there, and that was actually the end of the piece. It's only about 1 minute long, and it repeats that same measure over and over again, and it slowly fades out, and Will was really blown away with the quality and fidelity of that French horn sample at the end.
Mainly because it's a different sample than the other French horn samples. I mean, not to be like completely nitpicky, but it just sounds so good. Mm-hmm. Another thing is this piece is very Williams-esque, obviously, just sort of taking film music cues of how it's switching on a dime in the transitionary sections, having, you know, the use of octaves and making the orchestra sound really big. That main sort of trumpet fanfare melody is very rousing. It strikes me as something, you know, kind of like out of a Final Fantasy game.
And that's a good point.
One reason why I say that is because, you know, on the Wikipedia page for Koichi Sugiyama, it actually mentions that he was very influential to Nobuo Uematsu.
Yeah, I think a lot of later composers.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things that he's known as, Sugiyama is known as a big boss of video game music. Some people have kind of dubbed him that. So we're going to play three more tracks from this soundtrack because this is arguably one of the best. And hey, what do you know, folks? This next track is our track of the week. This is a really quintessential piece of music in the Dragon Quest series. It's really a fitting track of the week. We're not necessarily saying it's the be-all, end-all best track, but it's something that really, if you were to show someone, oh, what is Dragon Quest music? Here's a nice example for you. This is a track called In the Town from Dragon Quest VI. That is such an inventive and playful way to get back into the form again. You're listening to In the Town from Dragon Quest VI. This is our track of the week this week. What I love is very simple piece of music. It repeats itself twice. The second repetition adds a really nice expressive tambourine to the mix.
Yeah.
And then it goes into a C section and it gets very jazzy, and there's some wonderfully creative complex jazz chords that he does in the C section to really spice it up.
Again, Sugiyama's knowledge of different genres and varieties of music. We don't get to hear... We haven't really heard his jazz influence a lot so far in this episode, but I'm really glad that we played this track, and there's a reason why it's track of the week, because I feel like it effortlessly blends so many of his different influences and his wide knowledge of music into one piece. It's all very succinct, it's all very cohesive, and it sounds like this series. Mm-hmm. You know, presentationally, as far as the setting and the instruments, it's... very classical, also a little bit kind of Renaissance with that flute.
Yeah,
but
I think
I love, we get that harpsichord playing, and the very beginning section sounds like classical music.
It sounds like Baroque music. It's very comfortable and very, very masterfully confident in what he's trying to do. It's a little bit more humble than a lot of other pieces, not necessarily going for something quite as big as pieces we've played so far, but what it is doing, it's absolutely capturing it perfectly on the nose.
Well, I feel like as we go throughout the song, it's almost like going to the next generation of music. You know, you start classical, gets a little romantic, and then by the end we're getting jazz, but all with the same instrumentation, and it feels effortless. It feels more whimsical than just that traditional setting, so it works well for a video game, and again, it fits in the series. It's cohesive with all the other music that he's written for the previous games.
Well, let's play two more pieces. This is Inviting Village from Dragon Quest VI. ¶¶ Awesome. That's a fun piece. You're listening to Inviting Village. And hey, once again, the technique of repeating the same musical material with a different instrument. That's what you're hearing right here. It's so effective in this early era of video game music to extend the life of a piece of music.
Well, and it's not that hard to program.
Yeah.
Because if the data is already in there for pitch, you only have to change the data for instrumentation. I mean, obviously it's some work, but it's great. It allows you to, you know, have a seemingly longer form while not needing to compose new music, or at least not needing to compose
something
that's like 8 minutes long.
It follows the tradition of classical music, because that's what you hear in classical music,
right.
Is you hear themes coming back again with different parts of the orchestra, you
know? It's small little callbacks like that, yeah. This is a classic one. Again, just nailing all what he's doing. It's so intentional and it's so on the nose. Again, like you mentioned, the inner voices.
Mm-hmm.
Here, we talked about how the inner voice for the NES was really advanced. Here, some of the inner voices are really advanced to the next level. We get some of those really intentional dissonances.
Yeah, I will say that I feel like we talked about this. I think Uematsu was listening to some of this early Dragon Quest music and was inspired by it for his Final Fantasy music, and I think tried to do some of the techniques that Sugiyama
does. Like some of the meter changes and the tempo changes.
But he didn't have the level of knowledge of theory, and he wasn't trained classically, so he doesn't... He's not able to pull off the same things that Sugiyama does.
Yeah, I think it makes sense now knowing that Sugiyama was a real source of inspiration, because a lot of Uematsu's music, very melodic, you know, he's a great musician, but there are certain parts that sort of jump out at you and don't make a lot of sense musically. There'll be some weird meter thing or something lasts too long, and I was never really quite sure of what he was going for, and I think he was obviously trying to make it sound like orchestral music where, you know, you could have fermatas and you could hold out the orchestra and have tempo changes, but it wasn't coming from a very classically educated
place. And that's just the man, he just wasn't classically trained. And I think there's no fault of Uematsu. It was amazing that he was able to get as much as he did, but this is really complex stuff that you need to learn.
Well,
you
and this is a guy
taught,
who worked and had been writing music like this long before he ever heard of video games.
We're going to play one final track from Dragon Quest VI. This is maybe one of our favorite tracks in the game. It's so unique. This is Through the Fields. Awesome. You're listening to Through the Fields, and don't you guys think that's a really unique piece of music? It's so much fun. It has a little bit of a level of sadness and kind of, not quirkiness, but it has something like someone's like telling you, you can't go this way, you know? There's like kind of this like little bit of obnoxious quality of that trumpet melody.
You get some characterization from it. Again, another great functional use of video game music or
beautiful
filming.
Though there's a lot of mystery and wonder to this piece, isn't there?
Wonderful part writing, great harmonies. You know, I'm noticing his harmonies when he harmonizes a melody, fantastic. They come from a classical point, but they're also very artistically crafted, you know.
And one thing I love is such a heavy delay. When we talk about delay in the Super Nintendo, we talk about there's two channels both playing the trumpet melody. One is slightly after and slightly quieter than the lead trumpet. When you're hearing them together, it really creates a lush fullness of sound, and that's something that
sounds like it's sort of reverberating through a large
space. And that's something that a lot of composers would do, where they, you know, they'd have two channels dedicated to the, you know, the melody and then the delay of that melody. So very effective stuff. Well, we're very excited. From now on, we're going to play mostly orchestral pieces of music. Now, this is Dragon Quest VII, and this came out
for the... Haven't we already been playing orchestral pieces?
Good point, Will. This came out for the PlayStation, but we're going to play the Symphonic Suite version of this soundtrack, and that was a CD that was released shortly after this game. Now, pretty much every game that would come out from here on out and possibly even before, there would be a symphonic suite soundtrack that would be released.
And I mean, why wouldn't we
why wouldn't we play it from this?
Because this is what it's intended to sound like.
Yeah, so this is Koichi Sugiyama performed by the London Philharmonic Orchestra.
Holy
Let's take a
guac.
Listen to Days of Sadness. Wow. At a loss for words here, folks. This is Days of Sadness from Dragon Quest VII, and this was released for the PlayStation. We're playing the Symphonic Suite version, and this was performed by the London Philharmonic Orchestra. Bang up job,
ladies
and gentlemen.
I'd like to just get out of the way right away, is that for some of these fuller live performance pieces, we try to play as much as we can, but obviously, mm-hmm. you know, this is a live performance, there's no loop point, so unfortunately we're not going to be able to play the entire thing because we just don't have that amount of time.
But if you guys
hear,
they are now repeating the same music.
Right,
again,
repeating melodic material, even though with different instrumentation.
Which is, again, something that Koichi was doing on the MSX, you know?
Exactly. And what I think is interesting, though, is now that we're with a real orchestra, or at this point on the PlayStation, you know, more real sounding instruments at the time, I feel like it's even increasingly becoming more authentic classical music. And at this point, not like classical, but when I say classical, I'm talking, you know, Baroque, classical, romantic. Whenever people, you know, Western classical music, orchestral music, but it's
so cool.
More authentic now.
What I love about Koichi Sugiyama in his work on the series is that he never really had a long break. This game came out in 2000, and he had been working on the previous games for the Super Famicom in the 90s, so it's like he never had this long break. He was always kind of still in that world, and that's one of the other reasons why I feel like there's so much consistency and why the standards are so high, the bar is set so high for the series, is because he's always coming back every few years. He's coming back to this world, and he's able.
Right.
And what's so cool about this is he's able to, I'm assuming he did a lot of the orchestration and arrangement for the symphonic suite, so he's able to kind of do some work that he probably does a lot in films and anime and TV, and he's able to do that for video game music, you know.
Just a gorgeous melody,
yeah,
impeccably arranged for this symphonic group, and just so much expression. It makes you just want to tear up listening to that. It's absolutely gorgeous, and if the music alone can do that, completely ignoring the context of the game, that's just a remarkable feat.
We're going to talk about four more pieces of music today. We're going to play one more track from Dragon Quest VII Symphonic Suite. This is Fighting Spirit, World of the Strong. And this is what I was alluding to earlier with some other influences, not just straight ahead classical. This features a nice drum set performance as well. Please enjoy Fighting Spirit. Such a fun combination of, you know, those orchestral instruments mixed with the drum set, and it's all performed live, and it comes from that really big concert hall. It's so fun to hear that really heavy reverb, you know, on the drum set. Really fun piece of music, very quirky, right. Very imaginative, a little bit devious sounding.
Yeah, it has a little bit of a pops orchestra sound, if
absolutely.
You will. Like if you've ever heard, you know, around a similar time when they had some of those first video game concerts and mm-hmm. they played the Legend of Zelda theme and the Super Mario Brothers theme, it had this sort of sound where it was like a big jazz orchestra, but with strings and a drum yeah. set, and it had that sort of poppier sound to it. That's what this one sounds like to me, because I feel like in the game, you know, this is a more traditional video game type piece of music with that rhythm mm-hmm. and that backbeat. So hearing this in an orchestra has that sort of cuter yeah. sound.
All right, now let's move on to Dragon Quest VIII. And once again, we're going to play the Symphonic Suite version of this soundtrack. This is a track called, we're going to play one track from the soundtrack, Strange World, Marching Through the Fields, composed by Koichi Sugiyama. And this time it's performed by the Tokyo Metropolitan Orchestra.
I wonder who's conducting this, because I know that Sugiyama is a trained conductor and
possible.
Conducts for the films that he scores.
It's possible so. He was conducting curious. This. This is Strange World from Dragon Quest VIII. Listening to Strange World Marching Through the Fields from Dragon Quest VIII. Now, actually, I was doing a little bit of reading when we were listening to this. This is the original version for the American release. The Japanese release of this game featured sequenced music, and the U.S. release
really?
Featured this actual orchestra.
Wow,
music.
So this is actually to sync with the game. Because mm-hmm. typically, when they have sort of suites like this, they'll have new complete arrangements
so
to
this,
save money, because renting an orchestra is really expensive.
Was in the U.S. version of this game.
That's incredible. incredible.
This once again is performed by the Tokyo Metropolitan Orchestra.
Yeah, I just gotta say, this music is so wonderfully expressive, incredibly emotional. I mean, his writing is just so wonderful to me. It's so beautiful. It's everything
crazy
I love about music. Great
thinking
melody,
back to the
really
overture
emotional.
Peaceful Village from the MSX to this, it still feels like it's the same world. It's crazy. Like, yes, it's getting a little bit more lush because he has an orchestra, but the melodies are just,
yeah, they come
so
from that
similar.
Same imaginative, earnest quality just, that all those melodies
it's very
have.
Sugiyama-esque. Right. Everything
yeah,
is
this
Sugiyama-esque.
Whole part actually reminds me very George Gershwin-y, that sort of style. Also, Gershwin-y, and also sort of like the sound of like a Randy Newman score.
One thing I want to do is I want to check out his other work for other media. I want to see what what his work for film and anime is like. It'd be funny if everything he does sounds just like Dragon
Quest.
Oh,
this is cool. I love this part right here.
Yeah, this is fun.
Talk about Ernest.
Ernest. Ernest goes to Dragon Quest. Okay, now we're going to...
Not that Ernest.
Now we're going to play Dragon Quest IX. This is kind of weird. Going from all that orchestra, this came out for the DS. So now we're going to play DS original music. It's just kind of interesting to hear the back and forth. This is Dragon Quest IX original version from the DS.
So Heaven's, is this not orchestral?
This is not orchestral. Oh. This is Heaven's Prayer. You're listening to Heaven's Prayer from Dragon Quest IX, also known as Dragon Warrior IX, and this came out for the DS. This is interesting to go from all that orchestral music, and don't worry, we are going to go back to that for Dragon Quest X or Dragon Quest X. We are going to go back to actual orchestrated music, but it's kind of fun to go back, you know, back and forth. One thing that's kind of cool is that you're hearing his work on the DS, which, again, it sounds excellent, and he's really using these samples to wonderful effect. This came out in 2009.
Musically, it's just as good as his orchestral work.
Musically, it's just every bit as good. That's a very good point, Will, is that whether or not he's on the NES, the Super Famicom, the DS, he's masterfully using the hardware, and I'm assuming, again, he's having help from other people to implement it.
Well, and he's giving his all, you know. All the music is taken very seriously. And in a way, as much as I love getting more Sugiyama music, it makes the game feel so much more legit. But in a sense, I almost feel like, I mean, how dare you make this wonderful composer stoop to the level of making like a DS game? Like, I'm not to insult the DS or that game, but it's just like, you know, Koji Kondo never really works on handheld Zeldas or Marios because it's just like they would never dare like make him do something like that now that he's so beloved.
We always talk about how we want more full-fledged Koji soundtracks, but imagine if you're a hardcore Dragon Quest fan and a hardcore Koichi Sugiyama fan. You're just going to be in
so
heaven
great.
Every time. So we're going to play the last.
Not even
track.
It's not only did he work on every game, he worked on every single game alone
by himself. Yeah, as far as the composition,
it's crazy.
It's absolutely crazy. We're gonna move on to the last game. We're gonna talk about the last track. Now we're gonna play two tracks. I'm just gonna say we're gonna play two tracks in this game. The one we're playing you guys out with is also from Dragon Quest X, so just fair warning, that's a great track as well. It's very beautiful. First we're gonna play a track called Clashing Edges, and this was performed by the Tokyo Metropolitan Orchestra. And this is from the Wii U version of the game. It originally came out for the Wii, but there was a version in Japan that was released for the Wii U, which, surprise, featured fully orchestrated music. Please enjoy Clashing Edges from Dragon Quest X. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today for our episode on Dragon Quest and on the music of the legendary Koichi Sugiyama. We had such a great time sharing this music with you guys, and this for a lot of you was a long time coming. You know, we virtually haven't played any music from the Dragon Quest series. We had had this episode planned for a long time, and we really think it's a great first episode after Nintendo Month to really keep that ball going, keep that momentum rolling.
Yeah, that energy, that wonderful musical tradition. You know, it's really been quite a journey. I had a friend a few days ago who I was talking to. He's a gamer, and I was talking to him about, oh, how I love old school video game music, and he's like, what do you mean? Video game music from the 80s? That's just beeps and bloops. That stuff's terrible. And I really feel like there's probably a lot of people with that sentiment out there. And the Dragon Quest series is an absolutely... I mean, it's one of the many standout examples of why that isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we went through chronologically from the 8-bit all the way into orchestral. And Sugiyama's fundamental style of writing never changed. The amount of attention to detail that he put in all of his compositions and all of his melodies was so consistent, and I love looking at that evolution. And it's just such a wonderful series. I'm really glad we got to put our two cents into it, and such a pleasure to get to play so much of this wonderful music with you today.
Yeah, we had a great time. Thanks so much for sticking with us, guys. Once again, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, and if you're enjoying this podcast, feel free to leave us a review. We'd appreciate that. You can follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Once again, my name is Carl Brueggemann,
and I'm Will Brueggemann. Have a great week, you guys.
Peace out.